How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are here for you after the Celtics and San Antonio Summer League game. But really, the bigger story is the Gordon Hayward continued saga that just refuses to go away. I am John Corrales, joined by Sam Jam Packard, and we are brought to you today by our friends at Boston Paintball. Go to bostonpaintball.com. You will get a tour of all of their facilities, and we've got a special deal for that. We're also brought to you today by SeatGeek. SeatGeek, you can use SeatGeek to buy tickets to sports and concerts. It's a simple, easy way, and we have another deal for you there coming up with a special promo code. A different promo code, by the way. Now, let's just get into the Gordon Hayward stuff, because we'll talk about Jason Tatum and the Summer League down the road and all of that. But the reason why the Gordon Hayward stuff won't go away, Sam, is that all of a sudden today, Tony Jones of the Salt Lake Tribune said the Jazz are willing to engage in sign-and-trade talks with the Boston Celtics, which on the surface seems like, okay, it doesn't seem to make much sense. But Utah is clearly looking at the tea leaves and saying, all right, we're not going to get anything for Hayward. We might as well try to get something if he's going to walk. If the Celtics need to trade things to clear cap space, if they need to, things, players to get cap space, then we might as well hop in on this deal and partake in the trade bonanza. But I don't get it. I think the Celtics can do better and get more just by signing Hayward and trading their other things. But there are, I suppose, ways to make it make sense, I guess, for the Celtics.
Yeah, no, I was going to say I've done a 180 on the sign and trade idea, but now I think I've gone to full 360 here. At first I saw that, and the kind of the frame of the tweets was like, if Hayward's going to do the Jazz a solid, he better demand a sign and trade. And at first I was like, oh, come on, that's bullshit. Like, he's just a guy exercising his rights as free agency. He already wrote 2,000 very nice words about the Utah Jazz and their organizations and the man who sold popcorn to him and every single one person who's nice to him in Utah. I don't really think he owes them anything. And then Danger Cart came out and he started tweeting that there was a possible way in which the Celtics could engage in a sign and trade where they wouldn't have to give up Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, or Avery Bradley. It would just be giving up Terry Rozier. And kind of the cap minutia there is that you get penalized for every time you have a roster that's smaller than 12 people. So if you waived all those people and each number you go down from 10 players to 9 players, there's like a cap hold that gets put on your roster. And if so, the Celtics wouldn't be able to have max space if they just renounced those players. But if they ended up trading those players and bringing on the player like Hayward, they wouldn't have that final cap hold, and then they'd be able to get it all right. And then so that was – my initial reaction was like, okay, I understand that now. It might not be the best idea just to give up Terry Rozier for nothing, but maybe that's something like a leverage play they can make instead of having to trade someone like Marcus Smart or Avery Bradley. I was ready prepared tonight to come on and have the debate about which of those three players, Crowder, Smart, or Bradley, the Celtics should trade. So I was open to that Rozier idea just because it kind of changed the scenario and it felt like it gave the Celtics more leverage. But then Woj comes out of left field and starts saying that the Celtics are working on a sign and trade that involves Jay Crowder. And that to me makes absolutely zero sense unless the Celtics are getting back more players in addition to Gordon Hayward, maybe someone like Derek Favors, maybe someone like Rodney Hood. But it just really, it doesn't make any sense to me why the Celtics would give up Jay Crowder, someone they desperately, I think, need next season, because if you look at their front lines, they don't have anyone besides Al Horford and Zizic, who I'm sure we'll talk about later. I feel like Jay Crowder is one of the few players on the roster who can will give you consistently good minutes at the four. Giving up him in trade just to make Utah feel a little bit better about losing a free agent makes absolutely zero sense to me.
Yeah, I understand the whole cap hold and all of that stuff. It's so complicated, and the Celtics actually end up getting screwed very hard by this cap coming in lower than projected. And I think they probably were expecting, obviously they were expecting something different. They, if things had kind of gone as planned and the cap was up over or are at even $100 million, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But because it is where it is, this is where we are. We have this conversation. So I guess I've just basically landed on this, that Gordon Hayward is willing to come to the Celtics for nothing. I mean, for just outright. There's no need for the Celtics to engage in this unless they are trying to get something else in return. Now, looking at Danger Cart, because he's our kind of go-to guy, there are options if they are willing to include other players, if they wanted to do cheaper guys for our more expensive guys, and Danny could get some return and maybe get Dante Exum. He says a Hayward sign and trade plus Rodney Hood and Dante Exum for Crowder and Rozier. And you throw in Jordan Mickey, or you could waive Jordan Mickey and you stash Yabusele. That would work. If you start expanding the conversation beyond Hayward, then we can talk, I guess. But if it's just going to be Hayward and just trying to extract assets from the Celtics, I'm out. It's too much. It's too complicated. You just sign Hayward like you would normally sign Hayward, and you turn around and you do what I think makes sense. You trade Avery Bradley somewhere. You maybe get back a player or some pick, some asset in return. You open up the space. Maybe you open up a little bit more space than you need, and you get other players. You get some mechanism to sign other guys. But you that seems much simpler. It's just much simpler. You sign the guy that you want to sign. You trade Avery Bradley because you know what? They're not going to sign him next year anyway. I don't think. It doesn't make sense to sign Avery Bradley next year. You're not going to pay him what he's worth and then pay Isaiah Thomas and then add that to Hayward and Al Horford, who together will make, what, about almost $60 million themselves. So you're not going to pay $95 million combined for Isaiah, Horford, Hayward, and Bradley. That doesn't make any sense. So if you're not going to re-sign the guy, you're just not going to let him walk. Now, this is the summer to trade Avery Bradley. This is, I don't want to do it, but it makes the most sense. You're not going to sign him. He has value. He's a really good two-way player. He's a potential, or he should have been, an NBA all-defensive team player. He hits threes. He does a lot. He could fit very well on a team that's trying to win. So why not make the move this year regardless? I think it would have made sense regardless if we got Gordon Hayward. So Just do that. Just do that, and let's move on.
No, it's something I've been thinking about all day today, because the CBA, as we mentioned before, with all the kind of goofy cap holds and renouncing all those players, they're going to have to make a deal if they want to sign Gordon Hayward, and it's pretty obvious that it has come down to Crowder, Bradley, and Smart. We saw the earlier reporting from Ramona Shelburne. To me, I think immediately it doesn't make any sense to me to trade Jay Crowder. I think people are getting way too bogged down with the idea of there's a logjam at the small forward position and with Tatum and Brown and now Hayward. I just don't think that they really care about positions. Jaylen Brown can play basically 2 through 4. So can Gordon Hayward. It's unclear what Tatum will be at this point, but from 1 or 2 summer league games, it looks pretty decent, but we'll get to that later. But like I said before, he's the only person who can really give you solid minutes at the four, and it feels like if for the Celtics to be successful next season, barring not adding anyone like new, like legit rotation players, Jay Crowder's be incredibly important. And that's secondly, on top of that, we're seeing the salary cap kind of flatten and cap space and contracts become more valuable moving forward. And Jay Crowder, for what he gives you on the court and his contract of $7.5 million for the next, 3 years, I think, is one of the most unbelievably valuable contracts in the NBA. And the idea of just kind of trading him to make room makes zero sense to me, especially with the number of years he has on his deal. So then it kind of narrows itself down to Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley in my mind. And I think the Avery Bradley, I think, is more tradable or makes more sense just because he has a larger salary. So if you're actually trying to bring back a player who like will play this season, maybe someone who can, I don't know, play some minutes at the five, someone who can replace the minutes of Kelly Olynyk, Amir Johnson, and Jonas Derebko. If you want anyone of actual substance, you're going to want to trade kind of the largest salary, because then you can get a larger salary back. So it feels like Avery Bradley, I have loved Avery's contributions as a Celtic, but trading Avery Bradley makes the most sense to me. And I don't know why you would include Jay Crowder in any of this sign and trade nonsense, unless you're getting back multiple players. But even the package you just talked about of bringing in Rodney Hood and Exum, as Danger Cart mentioned, it still leaves the Celtics without a front line other than Al Horford. They literally would just be Zizic and Horford, and you just can't enter the season with that being your front line. They have to do something. I don't know what the trade is going to result in, but they have to do something that would result in having like some other person above the 6'10" has to be on this roster before they start the season.
No, I agree. I completely agree. I understand some people don't like Jay Crowder. I get it. That's fine.
Those people are idiots.
Yep, that's very true. I don't think it's a very smart take to not like Jay Crowder. But fine, they exist. I know they exist because they populate my mentions quite often. So, still, I think you need to have Crowder around for the reasons you said. He does bolster the front. He can go into the power forward spot. And yeah, some power forwards out there may make quick work of him in some scenarios. But you know what? Maybe not. Because the guys that would really overpower him, okay, fine, you put him in the post. If they want to go and try to bang down in the post and work down low, you can figure that out. You can double, you can jab, you can dig. There are things that you can do to handle a guy that's in the post against a smaller guy. And Crowder is strong. He's a strong guy. He can handle himself down there. He's not going to play the four very long. There's, like we said, the whole positionless thing kind of changes the dynamic, how the Celtics is going to use this guy. So I'm not really that worried about that. He's on a great contract. He's a great 3-and-D guy. He can play multiple positions. It's exactly the type of player the Celtics want. And if they're sitting there, like, you got to think about the whole big picture. You can't just look in the court and be like, I don't like this guy, I think he sucks, you got to move him. I think you got to look at the whole big picture. Who's getting paid? What's the salary cap? What's the tax line? Are the Celtics, where are they really? And if you look at where the Celtics are now that they've got Gordon Hayward, they have to pay Isaiah Thomas. I think they clearly are going to pay Isaiah Thomas. I don't think they're going to move him. I think he's part of the team. So you've got Isaiah, you've got Horford, and you've got Hayward. Now, those guys are going to account for 70 some odd million, maybe 80 million, yeah, of the cap. And so that brings you perilously close to the tax line. So if you're not willing to either go into the tax, or if you're trying to minimize the tax hit, then you want to have the cheapest, most valuable guys on the team, which means Avery Bradley, as much as I love him, has to go, because they're not going to pay him $14, $15, $16 million a year to be Avery Bradley. They can try to get that for a lot less. Maybe Terry Rozier develops into a cheap version of a guy who can shoot and play some defense. I'm not going to say he's going to be Avery Bradley, but when you look at the difference between those two in a couple of years, maybe that's enough of a small enough gap where it's palatable. And he's still on his rookie deal. Value. It's all about value. You're not getting the Mercedes, but you're getting a car that is pretty good and has a lot of the same bells and whistles. So a guy like Crowder, it's very valuable in that scenario. That's why they're not trading their top picks, because they wanted Jason Tatum to be good and they want to keep him on the relatively cheap rookie deal, by comparison cheap. They want to have Jaylen Brown around, who's going to be pretty good and relatively cheap. They want those guys who are going to overperform their contracts. They want those guys on the roster so the top heavy guys can get paid and you still have really good players that help you win games. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Cavaliers, you're waiting for them to disintegrate soon because their tax bill is crazy. Now, Kevin Durant opted to take a lot less money for the Warriors, but they're still going to have a significant tax hit. And, you wonder what's going to happen with them in 2 or 3 years. And by then, who knows where the Celtics are going to be? You can't really project out that far. All that being said, it just makes sense to move your big contract, move a guy you're not going to pay, and hope you get that production from somewhere else. Jaylen Brown can be a really good guy, a really good option to start at the two. Gordon Hayward could start at the two. He's a capable defender, and obviously he's a star level scorer. There are other options. There are guys you can potentially draft next year. The Celtics could have two top five picks next year, for all we know, that could fill needs in a couple of years at these positions. So all of these machinations and things just doesn't, it's too complicated. It's too much. Keep it simple. You got Gordon Hayward.
Let's focus on something simple then. Do you think the Celtics with Gordon Hayward are better than the Cleveland Cavaliers next year?
Not better, but potentially as good. They are good enough for people to go onto the SeatGeek app and start looking for tickets once that schedule comes out, and you want to make sure you get there and get the good seats at a good price early, because having Gordon Hayward makes the Celtics even more worthy of your money than they were this past season, and that was a lot of fun. We know SeatGeek, the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to any live event, not just the Celtics. You can go to a Red Sox game if you want, or if you're in a different city, go to a different sport. You can go watch a show, a Broadway show if you're in New York, a concert if you're in a different city. Whatever it is, you can do it by opening the SeatGeek app on your phone like I do, and looking up the tickets in just a few taps. I mean, I've done it. I've gone to games. I've gone to NBA games and looked up the app. I know you can open it up and you've got the green, the yellow, the red dots. I always pick the green dots because that's the big value. We keep talking about Ainge looking for value. I'm looking for value too on my seats. So when I went to Milwaukee, I used the SeatGeek app. I got a view. There's a little viewfinder. It helped me get the most bang for my buck. And I know that SeatGeek grades every ticket based on the value, so I don't have to spend a lot of time doing math, which I hate. It just lets me know what fits my budget. And so you know, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop with confidence. So make your SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports to concert to comedy to theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app wherever you get your apps. Enter the promo code LONBA. LONBA. You get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, promo code LONBA. Make your purchase. You'll get $20 back. Now, better than the Cavaliers? I don't know. But I think when you look at what the Cavaliers are and relying on Kyle Korver again to – he's getting older. I know he's still an elite shooter, but you can still take advantage of him in other ways. And he's starting to decline a little bit. Some of the guys, that they're just trying to run it back. You could take advantage of that, and I think Gordon Hayward just presents a different defensive challenge that allows the Celtics to do different things. And you look at the progression of Jaylen Brown, he's going to be better. I think that seven-game series actually becomes more of a question. And I'm sure the Cavaliers, at this point, you can look forward and say, yeah, the Cavaliers would be favored. But I can tell you this, it wouldn't be Cavs in five. I think it would be a much tougher series because you have to pay attention to Gordon Hayward when he's out there. You can't just double Isaiah Thomas. You can't blitz him like they did. You can't just overpower Al Horford. You just give it to Gordon Hayward and say, you initiate the offense, and he can do that. You can run the offense through Hayward for a while, and once they overreact to Hayward, then Isaiah Thomas can do what he does, and I think that changes the entire dynamic of the series. So the Celtics would have a pretty good chance in that series, I think. What do you think?
I'm with you on that. I think that Boston's offense next year is going to be almost impossible to stop. We saw how great just adding Al Horford was for Isaiah Thomas. I think in the playoffs especially, it's just with Hayward as a secondary scoring option or even maybe a primary scoring option in many situations, it just makes the offense so much more dynamic. I still don't think the Celtics have what it takes to really stop LeBron James defensively, but I don't really think there's many teams in the league that do. But here's my cockamamie theory why I think the Celtics do have a good chance against the Cavaliers.
Woo.
All the talk for the next 12 months or leading up to the trade, basically I would say next 12 months is going to be about LeBron James impending free agency. And about how he's going to LA and about where he's going and about the banana boat and who's he teaming up with. And let me tell you, this is going to just cause chaos and the chemistry of the Cavs is going to implode. And it's Kevin Love's going to be thrown about in trade rumor after trade rumor. And I can just see it being a circus that causes the Cavs to crumble. And who's going to be there but the ever stronger Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all these people just getting stronger and stronger. It feels like the perfect time to catch the Cavs when they're getting weak. Because if LeBron sees the paint, like the writing on the wall, and he's just ready to bolt to LA, that's going to make it so Love's not going to want to be there, Kyrie's not going to want to be there, and it's just really going to mess with their heads. And you can't play your best basketball when you're when you don't care about your team and you haven't sacrificed. So that's the cockamamie theory that I'm sticking to, and it's pretty much. Anytime I've tweet, you got to give credit to Justin Rowan from Fear the Sword, Cavs Nada. He is like one of the snarkiest dudes on Twitter, and he will like immediately tweet you anytime you say something about the Celtics, which I'm taking as a good sign because that means he fears the Celtics a little bit and he's getting a little bit defensive. But anytime he says anything, I just clap back with just like, well, LeBron's going to LA in 2018 and it's going to ruin your entire season. And I genuinely believe that the circus mentality will have a negative impact on the Cavaliers next year.
It's entirely possible. It's very much possible. Look, it's still a team that's owned by Dan Gilbert. And
they don't have a GM.
Exactly. Exactly. He fired the GM. Was it before the draft? Or right
days
after?
Days before the draft.
Days before the draft. Right. I'm getting my timing mixed up with him and Phil Jackson. They fired their GM before the draft. They still don't have a GM. They are in this limbo. I don't want to say that affects players, but when your team is doing stupid things, I'm sure there's like a Kyrie Irving or a Kevin Love sitting there like, what do you mean that he's gone? What is this? And they can blow it off, but you just don't want those questions in the first place. Why would you even want your team to be in that sort of conversation? So there's some of that. And like I said, the guys are older. They are kind of looking around and seeing the landscape. If they see LeBron and hear LeBron and see the rumors about this, that, the other thing, yeah, I can see that happening. I can see that being an issue. I will counter, though, with LeBron has been surrounded by controversy basically every year of his career. Has there been a single season of LeBron's career that didn't start with some sort of discord or problem somewhere, some sort of question somewhere, and he's still been to every finals for what, 8 years in a row now? I forget.
John, don't come at me with logic, okay, and reason for my cockamamie idea. LeBron, it's going to be a locker room cancer.
Right.
It's going to doom the Cavs, and the Celtics are going to lose to the Warriors in the finals, and that's that.
Okay. Fine.
All right. Okay. As long as we can agree with that.
All right. We'll just leave it at that. I'm sorry to try to shoot you down. It's almost as if I was playing paintball.
Ooh, you're good at this. You're a broadcast professional.
That's right. It's time to talk about Boston paintball. And we know that there's a lot of family activity that you're trying to plan out there. I'm telling you, Boston paintball is a great option. You can take your kids to Boston paintball, your family, your family reunion, your pre-college going away, one last go-around with the high school friends, all of that stuff. You can do any of that stuff with your friends, your family, everything at Boston Paintball. It's not, if you have this picture in your mind, you haven't seen paintball in a while, it's not what it used to be. Boston Paintball, it promises everybody's going to love you for this. There's three different versions of it. Kids as young as 8 are playing this thing called Splatmaster. The 10 plus group can have this low impact classic paintball. Sorry for that. And then there's private group play for all of us. And it's at three different locations. So you can choose one close to you or you can choose one that appeals to you. Go to bostonpaintball.com for video tour of these three different facilities, the indoor and night play in Chelsea, the outdoor competition in Maynard, and the apocalyptic cityscape featuring 23 buildings, a hospital, an airplane, and an army deuce in Ashland. Okay? These guys, I keep telling you, but this is really important. These are local people who own this. It's a locally owned business owned by a season ticket holder. So you're giving your money to a Boston-owned business, a Celtics fan. This is something that you should absolutely do. It helps the local economy, and you're hooking up a regular Celtics fan, a season ticket holder. So go to bostonpaintball.com and use the coupon code GREEN when booking so you can get $50 off a group package. Get your friends together. Get your family together. Get a bunch of people. Go invite random strangers. It'd probably be fun to go out there and shoot each other with the paintballs. BostonPaintball.com, make your reservation online, and use the coupon code GREEN when booking to get $50 off your group package. One thing we haven't talked about is how are you feeling? Like this whole saga with Gordon Hayward, like what was your first reaction? And then when all of this shit went down, like walk me through your mind, your process there.
I mean, when I first saw the Chris Haynes tweet, I was at a pool. I may have been overserved. I may have dabbed a number of times in front around, surrounded by a bunch of uppity Philadelphians who really did not care for my antics. And then just the rest of the day, I was just checking Twitter because there was all the other nonsense that came in. My girlfriend was very annoyed with me. She said she doesn't want Hayward on the Celtics anymore because he's such a drama queen. And at that point, I just said that. I had to laugh. Now all this sign and trade nonsense, who knows what's going on? I just kind of want it to be to be over with at this point. And just it, I'm happy to have Gordon Hayward on the team. I think it makes the Celtics 10 times more interesting next season. It's definitely what they needed to do with the cap space this year, but it feels like it's a never-ending saga, and we're going to be talking about that kind of the trade negotiations over Hayward for the next probably 24 to 48 hours. And I just have a really strong feeling that as soon as we stop recording, we're going to get like 16 more Woj bombs or ShamWows, and it's just like
I love the totally ShamWow.
It's just going to change all of this, and I'm here for it because let me tell you. Some of my best friends in the world I haven't met, and they're all on Celtics Twitter, and they've just been – it's been really fun for the past mostly like a week to just be going like back and forth with everyone. So I'm here for that, but at some point I just want to relax. You know, we're both of us are going to Vegas soon. I'd rather have all this the dust settled, and we can start, you know, maybe being a little overserved ourselves and enjoying the in Vegas, not be just like attached to – Twitter all day. That's what Jay King, beat reporter, will be for. Me and you, we don't have to do that.
That's right. That's right. I got to tell you, being overserved in Vegas is one of my favorite activities. I'm a Vegas guy. I love Vegas. Much like I love New Orleans. I'm part of that scene. I love that party scene. So I just kind of love being in the middle of just people and just people having fun. And that's going to be a blast. I did want to get, because this is what we do on these podcasts, on the Locked On Podcast Network, we do get the other side's perspective. When something big happens to our team, it's always great to get the other side's perspective. Now, the other side's perspective in this particular case is the Salt Lake, Utah perspective. And it just so happens that the founder of the network, David Locke, I mean, if you didn't know, that's why we are Locked On. David Locke, who created the Locked On Network and is the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, is very plugged into all of this. And I had this opportunity to speak with him about this whole thing from the Jazz perspective. And he's out there in Summer League in Utah right now working these games. So he's been involved with the Celtics and all of that. So he's gotten all of these reactions. So I got a chance to talk to him. So let's listen to that first. All right, David Locke here joining me now with a car full of, like, first of all, inaugural visit on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you. And who do you have with you now?
Well, first off, my pleasure. You guys do an unbelievable job. It's been one of the great shows in the network. So thank you very much for the work that you, Jay, and Sam put on with Locked On Celtics. To my right, because he's really, really tall and he gets the front seat, is Nate Duncan of Dunked On Basketball. In the back left corner, who's actually really tall and just scrunched, but behind me because I'm not as tall, is Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Danny LaRue, formerly of Locked On Warriors, but still part of our loving family, is in the middle. And everyone's favorite guest, who I believe is in third place on the most Locked On performances, Kevin Pelton of ESPN. So it's a full car leaving a summer league game.
This is great. This is great. All right, so let's start with you. You are as plugged into the Jazz as anybody. Your perspective of Gordon Hayward's departure, the whole drama that he had to go through, and what that means to the Jazz, the city, and all of that stuff.
Well, I think it's hard. The Jazz have been the model for the NBA, I think, at this point, on how to build up a franchise and player development and how to after the trade of Deron Williams, and then to have such a big step last year, and now obviously it has a step backwards with Gordon's departure. I think what will be interesting is the organization's got the blueprint and they've built some things really well, whether they can, but it's a step backwards. Gordon's really, really good. He was an all-star for a reason. So I think that will be, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back, how good Rudy Gobert really is, whether they may have found a gem in Donovan Mitchell and how what it takes, but it's a step backwards. Gordon Hayward's really, really good. They felt they did everything right over the last few years with him, particularly in the last few months, and it just, you know, Gordon's got the right to make a decision. He is the free agent, and he made his, and it's a little bit of a blow to the Jazz. I think most Jazz fans hoped, and Jazz organization hoped he was going to stay.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's a very appealing thing to stay there and see this thing through. I wonder... how much seeing all of that talent move west, especially forwards like Paul George and Jimmy Butler, and maybe Kevin, you can hop in on this, seeing a bunch of forwards that could potentially jeopardize your all-star appearances, your all-NBA appearances. You're trying to build a legacy. You're trying to build a potentially, you know, thinking way down the road, a Hall of Fame case maybe someday. You're trying to leave something behind. Going east increases your chances of getting all of that stuff. I wonder how much of that really played into his role, into this decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say without, you know, getting inside his mind. I think possibly a factor, but then also you look at the corresponding thing is, because of all that talent going west, it's going to be a lot harder to advance deep in the Western Conference playoffs than it is in the Eastern Conference the next couple of years. So I think that, you know, probably a bigger factor in my mind at least.
And I'll follow that, John. Gordon has always felt a little forgotten, always wanted to prove himself. That all-star appearance this year was very, very important to him. I don't know for a fact. I haven't spoken to Gordon in for the last 7 years. Anytime I reported on something Gordon-related, I was able to go to the source. So this is the first time for me that I have to kind of suppose something on him. But I think that it is very important for him to be an all-star. I think it is very important for him to be recognized as an important player in the league. And I think, you know, national TV games and the things you're talking about have probably had a significant impact on this decision.
Nate and Danny, I listened to you guys talking about this move, and there seems to be a very stark line between outside of Boston analysts like you guys saying it's probably going to be Jay Crowder or Marcus Smart that moves. Those of us in Boston are very unanimous in thinking it's Bradley that moves. Why do you guys think what you think?
I think Bradley's harder to replace in many ways for what they're going to do. And if they're keeping Isaiah, which it certainly sounds like they are for the long term, I mean, part of trading away the number one pick is the idea that Isaiah is their guy. Bradley's such a natural fit because he can defend either guard position, play off ball. And he's not being replaced at all by what's going on unless they're going to play Gordon at the two. So whereas Jay Crowder and all of their other guys, especially because they've made this investment in Jason Tatum and in Jaylen Brown, those guys are 3-4s. They're not twos.
Yeah, to me it's obvious that if you do have to move someone, and there's talk now that maybe a sign and trade could make it cap legal to just include Rozier in the trade. But assuming that that doesn't happen, that they have to move one of those three guys to make the math work, clearly it should be Smart to me. They desperately need Crowder. He's going to close games for them at the four. He would still be their best option to guard LeBron James. And then Avery Bradley, who's going to defend point guards on this team if you don't have him? Maybe it could be Smart, but then, you know, Smart, it really, with his lack of shooting, takes away from a lot of what they're trying to do spacing-wise to be really unstoppable on offense.
And John, I would add on, if there's a signing trade, there's more pieces than are being talked about as of right now.
Yeah, I'll just throw this out there. This whole sign and trade nonsense came out of nowhere. And I get from Utah's perspective, they now look at this as almost like a Chris Paul situation. You know the guy's going to go somewhere. Let's try to get something for this guy rather than nothing. But it makes very little sense for the Celtics unless other players are involved now. If they're just going to move Crowder or Smart or Bradley or some combination of those guys to clear the space and get Hayward, it doesn't make sense because you could move those guys separately and get additional assets to me. So would this potentially be expanded somehow to go Hayward plus somebody else in exchange for the Celtics assets? And who could that be?
I don't have the answer to the second part of it, but everything you said in the first part of it, as we drove by Summer League coach Walter McCarty standing by on the side of the street right there. I just thought I'd point that out for all the Celtic fans.
Give us a real pronunciation there. It's Walter McCarty.
Walter, you got to say it like Tommy Heinsohn. I love Walter!
The madness of the multi-person podcast is starting. And Josh is sitting quietly and I'm waiting for the accent to bust out. But I would say everything you just said is accurate on how it had, of why, you know, you're right. It doesn't make sense unless somehow it's it's a more complicated deal than that. Who's making the run? Takashi, one of the best restaurants in Salt Lake City. Open till 10. Are we getting in? Who's running? Who's popping out?
I'll take it.
Duncan, pop. Go. Use those 6'8" long strides. Show that agility. Let's evaluate Duncan as a summer league athlete. A little slow on the uptake. Not very good cutting. And we'll see if he can talk his way into it. All right, anyway, back to the normal podcast. But by the way, that's a guy who hasn't done enough play-by-play recently.
This is great. This is awesome radio.
Well, yeah, or something.
Am I going to note that I got us into the restaurant yesterday?
Yeah, Daniel Rue, by the way, gets the first credit for busting out and getting us into a restaurant. We're pulling off the 9:52 entrances into 10 o'clock closures, which really is the biggest ass move you can make in the restaurant world.
I grew up in the restaurant business. Being Greek, of course, my dad is legally obligated to own restaurants. We hate you people. We hate when you do that. Everything's cleaned. You're just sitting there. You're running down the clock. It's like that move when you're up 20 and somebody goes for the steal at half court, and you're like, what the hell was that about?
This place is really popular and packed, though, so we should be the only problem is they're so popular that they probably have the right to be able to tell
that they're not taking it.
All right, so
I moved you off speakerphone.
That's all right. I suppose we should wrap this up then, since you're all probably going to sit down. So let's...
Oh no, the importance of the Lockdown Podcast Network is more important than anybody's meals or anything else in the world.
All right.
It is the driving force. By the way, I'd like to point out I got two mentions on NBA TV tonight.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. I mean, I've been watching some of it, and these games are on. It's just the timing is so crazy. Like sometimes I'm watching without volume. Sometimes I'm watching on my phone. So it's a little nuts.
You should be watching at all times on volume, because I hear the third voice in the broadcast is really fabulous.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. So I'm pretty sure the sign and trade is going to be so complicated that it's probably not going to happen, so I don't want to give it too much time. I guess since it's just you and...
I would tell you that the vibe leaving the arena tonight was that there was a real chance for it.
A real chance for it? Wow.
I don't know what that means, but...
Okay.
Well. And I didn't get any details, but that's just kind of... That was what I was got. How about if the restaurant at 9:52 is full and there are no tables?
Wow.
Then in the restaurant world, do they seat us?
I mean, if you're an owner and you've got a packed house, maybe you do. Maybe you do.
I thought I'd get the, you know, John Corrales restaurant breakdown.
It depends. You know, that's just a pure judgment call, because maybe you just want to get the hell out of there and go home and just say, you got to lock the door at some point and let people out. But if the guy wants to make some more money, why not?
I think we've been denied. Didn't have space. That's kind of awesome. You got it. So if you're in Salt Lake, I always say there's three restaurants that are good enough to carry in any city. Takashi is one of them, and they couldn't take us at 9:55 because it was too crowded.
That's a shame. Now what's plan B?
Yes.
Drive through.
Well, we're similar to the Jazz at this point, that things got delayed enough and slowed down enough that most of the good options are off the table, and we're very limited in our selection at this point. And even in that last little minute, some of the free agents have gone off the market. So we're a little limited right now.
Things are just not looking good out there.
It's amazing how life has paralleled Gordon Hayward's free agency.
That's terrible. Maybe there's some good Boston-esque seafood options for you to partake in.
Yeah, because seafood inland is always a really good idea.
Never eat sushi. That was the joke after the Jordan game. Landlocked. Can't eat sushi in Utah. So
I was just in the fish market in Tokyo. It's all flash frozen anyway, so it's all the same.
Back to Hayward. Let me rein this sucker in, because this is clearly the work of someone who is desperately needing food and a person who's been up way too long and is ready to wrap up my night. So let's see, a final word I kind of want to see how the reaction out there is, because I know 4 years ago, the Jazz kind of weren't still yet sold on Hayward and who he might become. So they let him test restricted free agency and they kept him. They matched the deal with Charlotte. I just wonder if any of that kind of softened the blow, like, yeah, we might have expected. He already tried to leave once, in quotes. Is this something you're like, well, we probably should have seen this coming? Or is there any sort of mitigating factor? Or are people just pissed off and they're screaming, how about there's no loyalty anymore?
No, people are pretty salty about it. And, you know, I think they thought he was their guy and that he was going to be. He's good. You guys got a really, really good player. I think you probably know that by now. He should help you a great deal. You know, he's really developed his game a great amount to running, dunking. Actually, I should send Danny and see if he can get it after the failure of Nate. No, it wasn't Nate's fault. You have a really good player. He's versatile. My favorite thing about him is that he's a team guy. He doesn't hijack possessions. I thought with Paul George, you could have had some problems on whose turn it was and whose possession and all of those kind of things. Gordon's never going to be like that. He wants the ball late, so when Isaiah gets it three times in a row, he'll want it. But it's a case of he's the whole, you know, he's the whole package. All right, that's great. Let's do it. So he's, you know, he's solid. You've got a great player that I don't have a list of flaws that I would give you about him in any way. There's nothing other than a relentless worker who has turned himself into a great player.
All right. Well, I appreciate the perspective. I'm going to let you and the guys go. Look forward to seeing you all or some or most of you in Las Vegas. That's going to be a lot of fun.
We look forward to it.
And
I apologize for acting like a guy I've been on the air for 6 hours straight.
Look, don't worry about it. This is more fun than a straight interview anyway. So I appreciate the perspective.
Good.
Thanks to everybody. Sorry, Josh, for not getting my fantasy question in before everything went off the rails. I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Bye.
So from the Utah perspective, I know that it's tough to watch a guy that kind of grew up in your system that went, like, he was this skinny little dork coming out of Butler, and he's literally grown into an entirely new type of player. He's got better hair. It's like he looks like an adult. He plays like an adult. It's tough to see a guy grow and realize his promise. And just as he blossoms, he leaves. And that would be, it's to me, I would kind of compare it to like a Marcus Smart. Like, what if Marcus Smart, like, we keep him in restricted free agency, and next thing you know, he becomes more judicious with his shot. He starts hitting threes. He doesn't heat check. And then just as, like, everything starts coming together, we're like, wow, Marcus Smart is becoming that all-star player that we all hoped he would be. He says, all right, later, I'm going to Denver. That would suck. It would suck to have that happen. So, but I always skew towards the player. If you're a free agent, you can do whatever the hell you want and go wherever you want. If you are free to make that choice, and they can do it. Just like Kevin Durant making a very unpopular decision to go to Golden State. I'm for it. They had the money. It just worked out that way. That's how it goes. So hard to hear from the Utah perspective, but that's how it goes.
Yeah, it's tough to lose a free agent for nothing, and they're not completely blameless in this. They had a chance to, when they're doing rookie extensions, to kind of give him more money. That's why he's leaving after 7 years, when most people leave after or are up for their first big contract after 8 years. But it's always shitty to see that and see that player grow. But it's, I don't know, that's his right as a free agent. So it's, I understand it, but it's, You know what? I'm happy it happened because he's in the Celtics roster. The comparison I was going to see is just in terms of like a body, and then like watching him go from someone who's so young to someone so productive is Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum feels like he's kind of looks like Gordon Hayward when he first left Butler, in both that they're both kind of like smaller guys who have all this scoring potential, and just the idea of watching Jason Tatum. Because let me tell you, stocks are high on Jason Tatum after two Summer League games. Celtics Twitter is all the way in. I'm not sure about our main man, Sammy Sheehan. He was devastated on draft night, but I think even he might be on the Tatum bandwagon because he's looked like he's a guy who can score the basketball at the NBA level. And I know he's playing against Summer League guys, but I've been thoroughly impressed just with his shot-making ability so far. And little like things about him just attacking the basket. He seems very smooth getting the basket, and his plays in the post have been phenomenal. So I'm all in on the Tatum era after two games. It didn't take much for me to go all in.
Yeah, no, it's a very encouraging thing to watch Tatum right now. Tonight against the Spurs, 23 points, 10 rebounds, so a double-double. He shot 10 of 18, which is great. One of three from three, couple of free throws. Very positive game overall. Nice to see. And like I said, or I say it every summer league, the success is nice, but it's not necessarily telling or predictive. Failure is very much more telling and predictive in summer league. If you can't do things consistently in summer league, then that tells me bad things. But if you can go out there and dominate that, then great. He's a very gifted offensive player, and he's showing that. Like you said, getting to the rim, easily. There are shots, like I look at Kelly Olynyk. Kelly Olynyk in summer league was really, really good. And I know people will listen to this and disagree. Some people will, but he's also a pretty good NBA player. Tatum, I think if this continues, and it probably will, you can project him out to be a pretty good NBA player right away. He'll have a pretty good rookie year. I don't, maybe it'll be on par with what Jaylen Brown did last year. Maybe it'll be better. Who knows? Can't tell. I can say in my comparison to Olynyk, what I'm getting at is Olynyk did a bunch of things in summer league that didn't fly in, you know, against NBA competition. And I definitely see Tatum, some of his drives, some of his finishes. I can expect NBA players to recover a lot better than summer league players and challenge or block shots that he is now scoring on. So that is something, if you want to dial back the expectations, if you want to have a little bit of kind of, I'm not trying to bust anybody's bubble, but I'm always trying to be realistic. If you want to kind of dial back and get a little more realistic, a bunch of his finishes will be challenged better in the regular season. But that's great because he wants to, you need that so he can grow, so he can learn, oh, okay, this works against these guys, but not against the great guys. So I got to adjust and come up with a different move. Or maybe he's just so talented that he will learn that on the fly and he will adjust himself. But I'm at this point happy with Tatum, and I know he's going to be forever tied with Markel Fultz, but I think if this is where you start, I kind of like where the future is going with him.
The thing I think he needs to improve the most is his 3-point shooting, just because that's what how you become a great player in the NBA now. And his shot motion, I'm not like a shot doctor, but it looks a little bit funky to me. And I was pleasantly surprised when I saw him do the pump fake sidestep and then knock down a quarter three tonight. I was like, that's an NBA ready move right there. But there's some of the threes he took off the catch and off the dribble in transition, just they looked ugly and you kind of knew they weren't going in. And that was kind of a question mark about Tatum, was his ability. He's always going to be great from the mid-range, and that ability to create from the mid-range is definitely a skill that not a lot of players have. But if he can figure out and kind of work to extend it out to the three-point line, then he becomes that much more dynamic and that much more dangerous of a player. So that's what I'll be looking for in Tatum just for the rest of the summer league, is how well his three-point shot is developing.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about trying to figure out the instincts and adjustments. So I'm excited to watch him in summer league in person. Also excited to see Ante Zizic, who I think we're starting to see while the overseas production was good and his EuroLeague production was good and encouraging, a little bit of an adjustment playing in the United States, even against summer league competition. He's athletic, but he's not going to make you forget that he's 7 feet tall. You know, he's not one of those guys. He's not like Karl Anthony Towns or anything.
He's not jumping out the gym.
Yeah.
He's not getting much. His vertical leap is not impressive. That's why he needs that 7 foot frame, but he's not like the most athletic player. And it feels like I don't know if he's out of shape, but it feels like there's a lot of occasions, at least in the past, in this very small sample size, where he's kind of slow getting back on defense. And he got pushed around on the boards. He's had some good moments, but there's a lot of people in the offseason where it's just like, all right, let's slot in Zizic to the starting center and we'll play him 25 minutes a game. I think everybody needs to slow their roll on that one. It just doesn't play. And it's another reason why, just to take it back full circle, why in the hell would you trade Jay Crowder when Ante Zizic is the only other person on the roster right now, other than Jordan Mickey, who's likely getting waived, that can play alongside Al Horford or can give you big man minutes? It's just, I think people need to slow their roll and their expectations of Zizic. It's just young players rarely come into this league and just earn like starting spots. And Brad Stevens, nothing in his history would suggest that he's just fine just throwing a guy out there and letting him kind of learn on his own. It's like, if you make defensive mistakes, you're not going to stay on the floor. So I just don't think we can really rely on Zizic having that much of a role, especially early on in the season, if he's still having these small like struggles in summer league. If he was dominating, then you think he'd pass the test and move forward. But right now, it's just like he's still quite young and still adjusting to playing NBA competition. So I mean, people need to slow their roll on Zizic. It's nice to see just a guy with that size, and the Celtics haven't really had a guy with that size on their roster in a long time, probably since Fab Melo, RIP, but Fab Melo really couldn't play basketball that well. And I definitely think Zizic is a talent. It's just starting center, I really hope not.
No, not at this point. Maybe eventually. I mean, it's not impossible to think. And look, he did just finish, like really just finish, his season in Europe, and then traveling to the United States, he went from Central Europe to Boston, what, a week ago? He got into this country a week ago, and then he went from Boston to Utah. So his body clock is completely messed up. He's coming off a very, you know, intense season where he played a lot of minutes. And then on top of it, he's in Salt Lake City, which there is altitude in Salt Lake City. So there are mitigating factors here that I'm not saying that Zizic is an all-star and all this stuff makes him not. I'm just saying that he's not moving his best. But there are reasons why, especially a guy that age, playing at that altitude with his body clock all screwed up and making adjustments on the fly in a new country with a new system, like that all matters. So I'm not going to go crazy on Zizic yet. I think he's got some talent. He's got some skills. He's making some mistakes, like bringing the ball down way too low and getting it stripped multiple times. That is an adjustment that he has to make. I don't know enough of him to know whether that is something that's a problem. It's like the Kendrick Perkins thing where every time he got the ball, he brought it down to his ankles before he went up with it. But that also could be a sign of just being tired, that he's so tired and worn out that he's bringing it low because you, that's how you gather more strength, and that he can't just like catch it and keep it high and go straight back up with it. So I'll give him a much, much longer leash when it comes to his performance and how well he's moving and the decisions that he's making, because his adjustment is bigger than anybody's on this roster right now. Other guys of note, I mean, Jaylen Brown just, I think, kind of took a step back, like, willingly. I don't think he was all that aggressive. So I still stand by my comments that Jaylen Brown is probably too good for summer league, and I wouldn't mind if he just maybe stopped playing. Although I'd love to see him play in Vegas, I'd be okay if he didn't play anymore in summer league.
There's no need. He's clearly was much better than everyone else on the court. And I agree. I think it seemed like he was let the other guys take. It seemed like he was more trying to facilitate offense for others tonight than really was like dominating and being best player on the court. So I think that's just a good sign. You want someone who has a year experience to go and just play that much better. I think we saw Terry Rozier do it last year. It's just players who have a year in the league should be better than all these people like in their first go around. I think we're seeing I mean, I really don't know how much to buy into Abdel Nader just playing, like, not dominating, but just being a solid basketball player. It feels like there's going to be this. I feel like Abdel Nader is going to be on the Red Claws for the entire season. And then a lot of Celtics fans are just going to be like, why isn't he getting any minutes? But there's just going to be no space on the Celtics roster, and we're going to do that for an entire year, and then Abdel Nader will eventually find his way on another team. Because he seems like a solid player who could like definitely be the 13th, 14th, 15th guy on a team. It just doesn't seem like, especially with the Celtics wings right now, that place is on the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to having him around, but yeah, I'm kind of in the same place. I would think that there's some value to him as even in the, you know, the rights to Abdel Nader in a trade, like Avery Bradley and the rights to Abdel Nader to get a good young player, you know, it's not like he's a sweetener that you could throw in. You don't need him, but he's potentially good enough to be worth like the chance for another team. So if you're trying to extract somebody good that's young and doesn't make a ton of money, I feel like he's one of those guys you can be like, yeah, you know, here you have a space, you have an opportunity, you can sign him and try this. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm overvaluing him too. I'm not saying that he's anything particularly great, but you see the promise. He's out there. Like I said before, the success isn't necessarily predictive, but it's nice. And he's had success in two straight summer leagues and throughout the D-League season. I know what kind of caveat that comes with, but still, it feels like he's got some value there somehow.
Yeah, you know, we've reached we're getting towards the end of tonight's podcast, and we start doing the deep dive on Abdel Nader.
Yeah, let's
wrap
it up.
Millie said in the intro, we're so in-depth, we might do a full episode on the D-League, so...
Yep.
That's what you get when you subscribe. Smash the subscribe button on everywhere you get to podcast.
Is there are there any junk drawer items tonight?
I started a Google Doc, but then just this sign and trade nonsense. Oh, yeah. Here's one thing. I really love that Jason Tatum is described as an old soul. I don't know why. I just like has all the phrase "old soul" to describe someone has always amused me. He seems like a really nice kid, but just like that Jerome Allen and all the coaches are just like, man, that guy's an old soul. He's just really great around the locker room. It will make me laugh every single time. So old soul Jason Tatum, I'm here for that. That's all I got.
That's there's got to be a nickname in there somewhere with that.
We'll start workshopping. If anyone's got a nickname, boom, I thought of my other Jams Drunkcore thing. So we are heading to Vegas. I think we should both develop – some goals for Vegas while we're at Summer League. My goal is to meet Brad Stevens and ask him a bunch of non-basketball related questions. I just want to know about like his favorite band and what makes him smile. God. Other than basketball.
What would his favorite band be? Huh.
I have no idea. These are the things I want to talk to Brad about, because I feel like a bunch of people walk up to him and ask him all these questions about the Celtics and all this stuff. It's like, no, Brad. It's like, I want to know what your favorite meal is. I want to know what was the first concert you went to, or what's your, like, guilty pleasure movie? Because we don't know any of these things about Brad Stevens, and if someone is going to pry that content out of him, I think it's going to be us.
I feel like, yes, it's true. We will ask the completely unimportant questions. I feel like he might be like a jam band kind of guy. Like, I don't know, like Allman Brothers or maybe
I feel like you got
Chicago.
A decent amount of reefer to get into jam bands, and he doesn't seem like the reefer type.
True.
Maybe I'll ask him about his past recreational drug use. Who knows?
You never know.
Like, jam needs to talk to Brad.
Absolutely. I have to work on my goals. I don't know what my goal would be.
Well, if the fans want to suggest anything, they know to use the hashtag Rain and Jays without a G in raining. So send us what the goals should be for Vegas. Like, we can knock some out pretty easily, but we need to hear from you guys.
My goal would be, I guess, to survive, or maybe
that's always goal one.
That's always goal one, and maybe to somehow get you to get that tattoo you would regret, because as far as I know, you're ink free.
I am ink free. I was thinking about getting a clover with Brad's name in it.
Yeah, I think
I would regret that for a while.
Yeah, I think that'd be a solid bad choice for you. That would be a great story somehow. And I know me. If that happened, I probably would get involved with it somehow, because I am inked, and I would be like, let's go get tattoos and. Yeah,
if I can somehow get Brad Stevens to choose what the tattoo image will be, that I feel like I'd have to do it.
Ooh, yeah.
New goals. I'm coming up with new Brad Stevens related goals every hour.
That's awesome. I love that. All right, let me stew on that for a little bit. In the meantime, while I'm stewing, you should be subscribing to the Celtics, to the Locked On Celtics podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, the TuneIn app, some other app that I don't know about. If we're not there, tell us about it. We will get there. If you want to give us a 5-star rating, I would really appreciate that. Leave us a little review. That's like paying us. And like, since we're on the Millie's thing, like he said, probably should pay us, but it's a freebie. That's how you pay us. A 5-star review. And a 5-star rating and a positive review so other people can know how great we are. And yeah, it's our numbers are out of control now. More people than ever are listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast, as they should. And one final word, if you're an advertiser looking to get in on this action, because you should get on this sweet, sweet action, and you could pay us money to have us talk about you on the show, LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. We got the demos are great. And I will give you all that information. We're the place. Podcast advertising is hot. It pays off. It's a great value to bring it full circle. Great value. Just like Danny Ainge wants to get with his trades for Gordon Hayward in the sign and trade or to clear up cap space. We'll see how that all works out some point soon. And we'll be here to talk about it on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.